Glory to God. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew
13.
And his disciples came and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He said unto them, because it is given unto you to know, say to know, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them it's not given. And whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. To him who hath the mysteries, the keys, the revelation, to him who hath my word, to him will be given. Amen. Glory to God. Therefore, speak I to them in parables. Look at this. Because they, look at this, seeing, see not. There's a lot of people that can see, but see not. They can see, but they don't see. That's what the Lord said. He was telling them, he goes, you have eyes to see, but you can't see. And hearing, they hear not. And to them it's fulfilled, verse 14, the prophecy of Isaiah. Hearing, you shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing, you shall see and not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. He was speaking of that whole nation that was resisting him. That whole nation was resisting their day of visitation. That nation that was resisting the covenant of sonship that he was bringing into the earth, the revelation of that sonship that came by way of demonstration. And he said, listen, these people's heart, it's waxed gross. Listen to what he said here. The people's hearts wax gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have what? Been closed. He says, you walk around and see, but you cannot see with the eye I want you to see with. Everyone said, that's not me, because I can see. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. Look at the last part of verse 15. And hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart, and should be converted in what I should heal them. Some people's eyes need to be healed, and I'm not talking about these eyes. I'm talking about this eye. I'm talking about the eye of faith. I'm talking about the eye that sees the kingdom of God. Now, I've been confessing this scripture since it's been lit this week in a strong way. Listen to this next scripture, because he's not talking about seeing. He's talking about seeing. Do you get what I just said? Look at verse 16. He's not talking about seeing. He's talking about seeing. Blessed, verse 16, are your eyes. Say, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears hear. What's he talking about? He was talking about the mysteries of the kingdom. He was talking about the kingdom of God and the mysteries and the keys of the kingdom. He goes, blessed are your eyes that can see my kingdom. They can't see it, and they have eyes. But you can see it. Because blessed are your eyes. And I'm not talking about these two right here. For the kingdom of God is within. It cometh not by ocular evidence. It's not coming by the observation of these two eyes. It's coming by another eye. And it requires that you see that kingdom. That kingdom's required that you see. You have to see it. Say, see it. But you have to learn to see with the other eye. What eye is that? The eye of faith. It would say faith sees. Faith sees. If you have no revelation, you can't see. You see by revelation. In the kingdom of God, you do not see with these two eyes. By the time it shows up in front of these two eyes, it is already taking a journey with a whole nother eye. It's been seen 100 times over by another eye. It's been felt and perceived by the eye of faith a long time before these two eyes show up. By the time it shows up in front of these two eyes, it shouldn't even surprise you because the other eye has already seen it. Blessed are my eyes that see. It would say, blessed are my eyes that see. Blessed is the eye of faith in me. I see the mysteries. I see the keys of the kingdom. I see the kingdom of God. I see what's coming. I see I'm not talking about a seer gift. A seer gift sees prophetically, but the eye of faith sees, comprehends, grabs a hold, lays hold, and births. Say births. Birth. Blessed are your eyes, for they shall see. You know what he told Nicodemus? He told Nicodemus, he said, unless a man be born again, Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom. They were so trained under an earthly priesthood. Everything they did was earthly. Everything they did was according to the senses. And he's introducing a new kingdom that's coming. He said, listen, this kingdom's not going to be discerned by your senses. It's not going to be discerned by these eyes, Nicodemus. Unless you be born again, you won't even have a capacity to see my kingdom. That's stage one. Listen to this, John 5:19, and answered Jesus, said to him, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Even the Lord said that. He, the Son, he says, I can only do what? What I see my Father doing. And he wasn't talking about seeing with these eyes. He's seeing what the Father's doing. Where does the kingdom originate? It does not originate with ocular evidence. It originates within, with the eye of faith. What do you see the Father doing in your life right now? Because if you're looking with these eyes, you're in the wrong place. You must develop this eye, the eye of faith, the one that can see. And to see by faith, you're going to have revelation. Without revelation, you'll see nothing. Go to Ephesians 1. Listen to this. He's praying, major prayer. You should pray Ephesians 1 prayer and Ephesians 3 prayers. Paul and then Colossians has some prayers too. You should pray these every day. They're powerful. Ephesians 1, verse 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? And revelation. Say, spirit of wisdom and what? See, he's asking for his eye of faith, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to open his eyes. If you don't get your eyes open to the kingdom of God within you, you're not going to see what God's doing. And what he says, did your eyes, if you're understanding what? Being enlightened. Being enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You've got to know what the inheritance is. You can't comprehend or apprehend the kingdom if you don't know what your inheritance is. Because this inheritance is an invisible inheritance, but it's seen with the eye of faith. And the eye of faith is activated by revelation. So as revelation comes, it shows us the inheritance and it gives us a picture of an invisible inheritance that's very real. But that eye has to be developed. That eye has to be focused on. The eye of faith. See, we grow up in a sense-dominated realm. Because of that, we're so used to operating by the senses. But God wants to operate by faith. Say, well, I have faith in God. But having faith in God will require you get in touch with the eye of faith and be able to see the kingdom of God. Inside. And to do that, you're going to have revelation. The eyes of your understanding are going to have to be open. The eyes of your understanding that I may know the inheritance. So he's going to give you a picture of that. Amen. Now, I want you to go over real quick to Numbers 13. So when they came down into Hebron, the spies, when Moses had sent those spies down into Hebron, and they were going to spy out the promised land, Mount Hebron. That's the most powerful mountain. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all their wives were buried in that mountain. These spies come in and God sends them directly to that inheritance of that mountain. You know the story. Caleb ended up making a 45-year stand of faith for that one mountain. He never wavered, and God gave it to him and his descendants. He gave it to David. He crowned David in that mountain. And Jesus inherited it in the right hand of the Father. Powerful. So they come into the mountain and they return, verse 25, from Mount Hebron. They went in and they spent 40 days there. They gathered the fruit of the land. Verse 25, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation, Numbers 13, 26, and the children of Paran, and brought back word unto them and to the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. So God, it was everything God said it was. But they only heard. Now this is important. God told them when they were going, there are going to be giants in the land. He told them it's a land flowing with milk and honey. See, we only like to hear what we want to hear. If you have selective hearing and selective seeing, you're going to get in trouble. Because God was telling them the whole way there. He was getting them ready to send them in. He said, now go in there. It's going to be exactly the way I said it was going to be. There's going to be fruit there. It took two men to carry out a staff of grapes. I don't know about you, but I can pick a cluster up in the supermarket with my finger. These clusters took two men to carry out on a staff. I mean, that was the financial economy of their day, agriculture. When they looked at that, they said, oh my, look at that. That mountain was producing. You know why? Because Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their wives, all that faith was buried in that mountain. Some 400 years later, God buried that anointing in that mountain, that anointing of faith. Just like, remember Elisha? His bones. They buried him, and you remember the bones? And that dead Moabite, they threw him in there, and he came alive. He hit those bones. That anointing was still in his bones. But the anointing was up in Abraham's bones, and he buried him in that mountain. That mountain's producing fruit. Even the giants knew. Out of all the promised land, they come up into that mountain. That's what we call the Mount Hebron inheritance. They knew it was the creme de la creme. It was prime rib. Filet mignon. The giants were occupying the prime part of the promised land. That's the very place God said, go. Go find it there. Let me tell you something. Everybody wants a promotion. Everybody has grandiose dreams with God of doing great things. But to get there, you're going to have to go through some things that are occupying parts of your future. God is not the least bit concerned about the giants that are occupying your future territory. But you're going to have to be prepared for them. And these guys were heads of their tribes. The 12 tribal heads went into the promised land. They weren't just ordinary Joes. These were the head, the studs, the honchos, the big wigs. The 12 of them went in to promised land. God said, you bring back the fruit. Moses said, tell me what's going on in there. Listen, the time to exercise faith is not when you get in front of the giant. If you think you're going to start exercising faith, that's what people don't understand. It's like, God is just going to deliver me in the future. You're not going to get delivered anywhere without a battle. And if you're not prepared for that battle, you're not moving forward. Only two of them were prepared. And the unbelief of the other 10 override the two. And according to Hebrews, said they did not mix faith. He says, unto them the gospel was preached. Their gospel was what? Their gospel was there's a promised land. Their gospel was, I'm taking you out of Egypt into a promised land. I'm going to baptize you by the Red Sea. We came out of Egypt baptized in the blood of Jesus in the Red Sea. And there's a promised land. He said it was preached to them like it was us, but because they didn't mix the faith. But they had something a whole lot worse going on. Watch this. And they told him, we came, verse 27, to the land where thou sinnest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. Well, they should have just stopped right there, huh? Then they said this, ready? This is what got them in trouble. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites and the Amorites and all the otherites are there. Of course they were there. He said they were there. But they weren't looking at what God told them to look at. They had not developed their eye of faith. And so their other eye was subjected to the circumstance that they were in the middle of. God was trying to promote them. And their promotion had to go right through those giants. Just like David, it's promotion. Do you know David dealt with the same giants that these 12? Caleb displaced them to Ashdod and to Gath. Those giants, he displaced them, and they grew up in Gath. And that's where the enemy went and found, the devil went and found a champion called Goliath of Gath. And he was of the original descendants of these very giants that were sitting in Mount Hebron. But David met him with another spirit. David was ready. He didn't come upon Goliath just because the anointing came upon him. That man was already walking with God. He had his eyes of faith. He had faith. He had the spirit of faith operating in him. He was ready for the battle. And that battle promoted him, see, because he won that battle. This battle demoted them. Caused them to turn around and spend another 40 years in the wilderness. And here's the problem. Verse 30, look at Caleb, though. God, don't you like Caleb? Oh, where did he get it to have faith like this? Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome. In the next chapter, he says, listen, they're bread for us. This is morning breakfast. Don't worry about it. Man, that guy had a working in him. Listen, you don't get faith like that. Come up in front of giants unless it's already working in you. That's what people don't understand. They get in the middle of circumstance and they start exercising faith and think something's going to happen. You got to have it before that shows up. You got to exercise it now. You got to know if God is going to promote you. You better have something working on the inside of you. Because if you don't have it work on the inside of you, you're going to get in front of a circumstance that's designed to be your promotion. And you're going to end up backing up. Because you're not going to make it through. Because you weren't ready to handle your promotion. Because what's up in front of you, God's not the least concerned about those things. But you have to overcome them. And you're going to overcome them in your flesh. You're going to overcome them with faith that's working up inside you. And it better already be working. You better be a doer. You better start listening and doing now and preparing. Well, I'll just, when it gets there, you know, I'll just figure it out. That's what they did. They just figured it out. Tribal heads. Just because someone's a tribal head doesn't mean they have faith. You can be in high places and have no faith. Verse 31, and the men that went up with him said, this is the voice of unbelief, we've been unable to go up against the people, but they are stronger. Hear that? That is a prime example of someone who has nothing working on the inside of them. They never heard what God was saying. They never listened. They were just attending. You know, it's possible just to attend church but don't listen. Attending and being on the cell phone. Oh, yeah. And God is trying to prepare you for something that's coming that's going to promote you in your generations and getting your spirit prepared and getting you ready for something that's coming. Because God's going to promote me. Listen, it's not going to come without a battle. You think the enemy is not going to come and resist you? They weren't ready. They said they're stronger. They brought up an evil report when they searched. Children of Israel say, in the land which we have gone to search, Listen to this, verse 32. Very important to understand. Land that eateth up the inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. Look at this. Are you ready for this? Here's their problem right here. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Your enemy will know immediately where you stand. They were in their own sight as grasshoppers. Their eye of faith was not developed. Only two of them had the eye of faith developed, Joshua and Caleb, and they were ready. And those men had to back up because the corporate ship wasn't ready to go in. And God said, all right, you bring up this evil report. Every one of your carcasses are going to die in the wilderness. I'm going to wait till the next generation shows up. But those two, Caleb and Joshua, they're going in. Say, they're going in. It was Caleb that inherited that mountain, by the way. It was Caleb that displaced those guys. Caleb had to wait 40 years. Back, he comes back to Moses when they go back in after 40 years. He goes, you know the strength that was in me when I was 40? You remember the good report I brought, Moses? Because they were 5 years walking around that promised land, defeating everything, but nobody asked for that mountain because they remember those giants. Caleb says, I want that mountain. Give me, therefore, Mount Hebron. Give it to me. Joshua goes, you know the giants are there. He goes, listen, they're bread for me. You know the strength that was in me 40 years ago. That same strength's in me now. Both to come in, both for war. Now give me therefore this mountain. 85 years old. How many voices of unbelief did he had to pass during his time? How many voices of unbelief did he had survived for 45 years? And God's never going to do it when they walk around the wilderness. And he said, I know God's going to do it. He held that mountain in his heart. He kept the eye of faith no matter what. That's a legacy right there. 45 years. He was 85 years old. What a legacy to keep faith like that. Wearing a wilderness circumstance for 45 years, subjected to corporate unbelief when it wasn't even his fault, and yet his faith still won. We got to be very careful corporately what we're doing. We better be careful that we're giving heed to what God's saying. Because God is releasing a whole lot of revelation right now. We better be connected. Amen. Blessed are my eyes that see. When you start seeing the kingdom, you don't have any time to look at circumstances. You don't have any time because the kingdom starts growing so greatly on the inside of you that you're no longer looking at the circumstance. All you're looking at is the kingdom. That eye centered in. Hallelujah forever. Glory to God. Now, I want you to go over Proverbs chapter 23 for a minute. We've been talking about mystery, the kingdom of God, the leaven effect, the operation of the kingdom, receiving of the three measures by way of mustard seed faith, the measures of his word, dunamis creative power, and faith. One of the things faith will do in its receiving, we receive the word, we receive dunamis, and faith is present. One of the greatest operations of faith is the seeing eye, or what's called the eye of faith. Started studying Paul Yonggi Cho a little bit. I read his books earlier in my Christianity, but I started reading his book again on the fourth dimension. And he caught a lot of persecution for that. Holy Spirit taught him how to hold. You know what he called his spirit? Have you heard this before? He goes, your spirit's an incubation chamber. And what you hold in there by way of the word of God is eventually going to come out. And God taught him how to hold, at that time, a 50,000-member church. Now he has 750,000 or a million members. But back then, nobody ever dreamed of having a 50,000-member church. And he began to incubate that on the inside of him. I'm learning how to do that now. See, that's what Caleb did. He was incubating the promised land. So he got in front of the promised land. He wasn't looking at giants. He was looking at that inheritance. He was looking at what God told him to look at. See, you don't just wake up one day and see like that. That has to be nurtured and incubated. You have to give heed to these things. Kingdom of God is a living reality on the inside of you. We have to learn to hold our future there. To learn to hold what God said about your future there. But to learn to incubate to a level, it gets so real. The Lord said, I want you to focus in on what you're praying for. I was counseling somebody the other day, and this person's dealing with a major infirmity. And so I called them, and I know they're in a lot of pain. I said, well, tell me what's going on. And, you know, they were giving me the normal faith response. I said, okay. I said, so what are you doing? Well, I'm believing God. I said, okay, well, explain to me what that looks like. I need to understand what you mean by that. Well, I'm confessing that I'm healed. I'm believing that I'm healed. But then said, I get discouraged every once in a while. I said, well, that's normal. I'll confess, and then I'll stop. I'll confess. And I said, that is the classic mistake most people make when it comes to faith. The first thing they do is they start confessing, whether they're confessing for something out here or confessing for their body. I said, you know, that is the final operation of faith, not the beginning operation. That's the one that you can say unto the mountain, be thou removed. And what people are trying to do is move the mountain and nothing's happening. How many of you ever started there and nothing ever happened? You got really discouraged. Well, you should all raise your hand because I'm sure you all had that venture. The reason is because that's the final operation. I said, what are you doing about the receiving phase of faith? What are you doing about the incubation phase of faith? I said, because what you're really doing now, get this. You're asking the Father to send a healing from heaven to your body. Your body still has this world system working in it. You know that, don't you? Your body, though the Lord purchased it, it has sin and death working in it. It belongs to a different jurisdiction than your spirit, even though you're wearing it. This body's going to lay down and die. Your spirit's never going to lay down and die. This body's going to get glorified like your spirit, but not in this lifetime. So what you're asking God to do, which is the classic mistake that people make, is God, send it from heaven here. See this? Here to here. The kingdom of God doesn't come that way. The kingdom of God is what? Within. Say within. And more than that, when you ask the Father to heal you, now listen to me very carefully. When you ask God to heal you, He's going to send something called riches in glory to you. He's going to send an allocation of two things. He's going to send an allocation of the Word, and He's going to send an allocation of dunamis power. That is not the healing, but it is the components for your healing. And He does not send those to your body. He sends them to your spirit. That's why you have to have faith as the grain of a mustard seed to receive the components by which the Holy Spirit is going to utilize and manifest that healing into the body. Create the healing in the body. I said, what you're trying to do is operate in faith. You're trying to go out of heaven to your body. God doesn't work like that. In the anointing, He does. Well, somebody else's anointing, He'll drop it on you. That's really what you're asking. You drop it on me. Well, when personal faith is concerned, God doesn't drop it on you. He drops it in you. Say, He doesn't drop it on me. He drops it in me. Same with blessing. We're looking for it to happen out there. It's not going to originate out there. It's not going to originate in the body first. It's going to originate in the spirit. If you want to get healed, start learning to receive. Spend more time receiving. Receiving what? Creative dunamis power. Receiving the word of healing. Cultivating, acknowledging the word. Cultivating on the inside, because these are the components, evidence and substance, which God's going to utilize. The Holy Spirit, it's His glory to take that and create a manifestation or a creative miracle out of that. Did you understand that? Transfer your spirit, and then the Holy Spirit takes that. That's why a lot of people don't get healed. Because the final phase of faith, after leaven, by the way, those of you who've been here understand what I'm talking about. The final phase is you speak to the mountain and it moves. That is a post-leaven operation, not a pre-leaven operation. Don't start trying to move the mountain if you haven't received anything that causes the mountain to move in the first place. Because you're just speaking words. It's going to take you a long time for your words to catch up. It's a very dry faith. I did it 11 months. Confessed 3 hours a day for 11 months. And I moved a mountain, but it was the hardest thing ever. I'm like, God, there must be a better way. Because I was starting at the end. I had no understanding of how the kingdom first transfers to you before it transfers through you. So starting at the end, I just kept doing it at the end. It was out there, and finally God got enough inside of me to release that. You need to work on what's going on the inside. It's called what I call the dominion mechanism. Are you at Proverbs chapter 23? Verse 7. Ready? For as he or as a man thinketh, what thinketh? In what? His heart, so is he. You know what that word thinketh means? Hebrew word. Shoar. Or shawar. You know what it means? It means to split or to open. Ready? To act as a gatekeeper. As a man acts as a gatekeeper in his heart, so is he. Your heart is the gatekeeper for the kingdom of heaven. If you try to receive from God, dropping it out in front of you, you're missing it. You have to learn to receive within. That's why you've got to get in touch with what's going on the inside of you. I got 3 series on how to do that on the website. The Holy Spirit was adamant about learning that. He spent a whole lot of time about that. How to open the kingdom within, unlocking the inheritance within, the temple within. All about this, the interior temple, this interior kingdom. How to get in touch with it, how to get in there, how to move, how to understand the reality of it. If you don't, you're going to be operating outside all the time. Even under the law, under the shadow, when they prayed, they went into the temple before they prayed. You got to go in. They go in. Everything's administrated from within. If you live all your life outwardly, you're not going to get a lot. You might have an anointing on your life. It'll come upon you, but you're not going to understand how the kingdom works, because the kingdom operates within. All this stuff happens within. As a man thinketh, where in his heart? See, your heart's a gatekeeper for the kingdom. Your heart's what received. Guard it with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues. I'll say it like this. Guard it with all diligence, for within flows the issues. The issues have to flow within the heart and out of the heart. The heart's the gatekeeper. The heart is the temple within. The heart is the spirit of a man. It's the kingdom within. All that's seated in the same place. Got to be the gatekeeper. Amen. And from that position is where you learn to develop the eye of faith. How many of you ever had a revelation and boy, your eyes were just open. And then 3 months later, you can't even remember the revelation. You're walking around, what? I can't remember what he said, but when he opened it, I mean, wham! He opened that gate, lets you see the invisible. You must learn, like Caleb did, to see with the eye of faith more than the eye of circumstance. You're going to have to get your life detached from these eyes and get it attached to the eye of faith. And to do that, you're going to have to learn how to develop it. And to do that, you're going to have to learn what meditation really means. He told Joshua. He said, you meditate my word day and night, you have good success. You know what meditation means? It means to ponder, imagine. It means to speak. Ponder, imagine, to utter, and to speak. Now, all of this is not going like, out here. Meditation is an inward operation. Say inward. It's a vital tool to the operation of the faith within you. It'll help you keep what God gives you. It'll help you when you get a revelation how to keep that thing alive instead of 3 months later, forget what God said. Because if you're forgetting what God said, you're going to be in front of a strong man. And he's going to eat your lunch. You're not going to operate like Caleb if you forget what God says. You're going to have to be ready. Listen, you think God's going to give us a revival and the enemy's going to stand back and watch it? We have to be ready for that strong man. Nobody's immune to the assignments of the enemy. He plays dirty, all kinds of stuff. The only thing's going to beat him is truth. The only thing that's going to beat him is dunamis, creative power, and the exercising of corporate faith. So God gets a corporate faith in here. The corporate. Glory to God. Now, I preached this before. I want to get back to that. I'll close with it. Go to 1 Timothy. While you're going there, I'm going to quote a scripture. Philemon chapter 1, the only chapter of Philemon, actually, verse 6, is a most incredible verse. It describes the process of meditation. This is how you develop that eye of faith, by the way. I'm going to say a few things about the eye of faith here. The Lord's starting to teach me how to release what he calls the sanctified imagination. Your imagination's going to work with your faith. But it's not going to replace faith. And it's not going to be fantasy either. Fantasy is someone who has irresponsible lifestyle, couch potato anointed, and engages in a fantasy of some land for escape. And they escape life through fantasy. I am not talking about fantasy. I am talking about responsible believing that first has received the word of God, which is the parameter and the boundary in which the sanctified imagination is going to release into. You're not going to let your imagination go wild. You'll get in trouble. But God gave the imagination as a tool to paint an image within you. Because the problem is a man thinketh where in his heart, so is he. You have some issues of the heart, you're going to have issues out here. I've given this story. I'm going to tell it again. My brother-in-law got a brand new BMW. Long story short, I asked to take it for a ride. Anna jumped in it with me. It was brand new. I wanted to open it up and see what it got. I needed a stretch of road I could open it up on. Yeah, you know how it is. Man, I put the pedal to the metal. But it was awesome. So after I slowed down, I was trying to find a place to turn around. Because we were on an overall, and I pulled into this old house. Grass this tall, old cars in the yard. You get the picture. Hadn't been painted in 40 years, and I saw somebody pull that window back. I was like, here, you feeling about this house? And I was trying to find a reverse. I'm like, I got to get out of here. So I don't know if shotgun's coming next. And while I'm trying to find that reverse, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me. He said, you see this man's house? He goes, that is a direct image of what he looks like on the inside. And he goes, he could win the lottery and he'd be right back to this place. Because the reason why people who win the lottery and go back to the poorhouse is because their image within is ordering the poorhouse. And it doesn't matter. You can't give enough money to somebody who's got a fallen image that has not been restored to the image of God. Because that image within the heart, as he thinketh in his heart, is going to order his environment all over again. Your environment's going to keep getting ordered according to the belief system inside of you. And if you don't unseat that thing, you're going to stay leveled and ceilinged all your life because it's going to keep ordering the same thing. I'm like, God, I don't want to look like that. I went and called my yard man. I said, mow my yard again. The garden, we are tenders of the garden. The original tenders of the garden, we're tenders. We got to give time and diligence to this garden. You want to harvest, you're going to have to start planting something. Spend time inside before you go to the world. Everybody wants to go to the world, make their mark on the world, and they go out there and they spin their wheels because they have nothing working on the inside. And they end up spending their life in a life of human sufficiency trying to win the nations. Instead of harvesting inside, carrying weightiness on the inside, learning how to develop. It's been a long journey. We're getting the keys of the kingdom now. We're understanding how this works. And this final thing is the dunamis, the evidence of his word, the substance of dunamis, creative power, learning how to receive, 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 receive. And this final thing, developing the eye of faith by way of the sanctified imagination. See, God, once you receive his promise by his word, you've got the boundary to release your imagination into it. You see what I'm saying? You can't just take your imagination and start releasing it. You'll get in the flesh, see. Because your soul will get in there with its desire. You got to get a God-ordained promise. It can be personal, corporate. It needs to be ordained. You need to receive his word in there. How many of you are pregnant with the word of God? See, you got it. And you get dunamis working in there. That boy, dunamis is a power kicker. Once that happens, then you start releasing the sanctified imagination into it. The Spirit of the Lord's been teaching me. He goes, you got to let yourself release. Dare to believe is what he said. Dare to see it. I've given you the capacity to see something before you're ever there. And when it's under the boundaries of the word of God. See, we're not talking about positive thinking here. We're talking about faith. Because we're allowing the Holy Spirit to sanctify the imagination, develop the eye of faith to construct a brand new image. So construct a new image. When you get in there and you're receiving, allow yourself to see what it is you're believing for. Move into what you're believing for. You'll be amazed how vivid. You know why the enemy comes at the children? You know why he's trying with a cult coming at the children? He wants to corrupt their imagination early so they'll serve him in his system with it in their latter days. He's seeding the imagination early. God's trying to get a hold. That's why he told Abraham, look at the stars at night, look at the sand, and now close your eyes, Abraham. See your descendants. Say, see. See what you're believing for. Let your imagination release into that word. Let it release into the spirit. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. You'll get caught up living in your future before you ever get there. I am living right now in our next level, and I just come to report to you it's glorious. How are you doing that? I'm moving into that by way of the sanctified man. I'm moving in by the boundaries of the word. I'm living in the future, and the Holy Spirit's teaching me how to release into it. And I go into that room, and I do all of this right in the presence of the Father because God's pleasure is showing. The Father showing up, and then his pleasure showing up, and his love is showing up, and his glory is showing up, and he's getting involved with me. And it's like we're already there. You can see revival. You can see laying hands. You can see what God has said. You can go into parts of this thing, and you can start living in it before you're there. In fact, God requires it of you. Or you can be subject to where you are now and the enemy keeps corralling you down with circumstances and gets you to spend all your life in the now. How am I going to get out of the now? The only way you're going to have to get out of the now is get the future working on the inside of you by way of his word. Learn how to receive. I've developed a whole series on this. You should listen. It's good stuff. You got to receive your future inside you. That's where faith begins. Receive the word. Receive. And then once I've got dunamis and the word working, once I know that I've received, how many of you know you've received? Once I know I've got some, now when I go in that room, after I acknowledge it, it's all there, and I start allowing the Holy Spirit to release the sanctified imagination into it. It's a living operation. God gave it to you for that reason. He didn't give it to you for fantasy and escape. He gave it to you to paint the reality of the future. He gave it to you for faith to paint a brand new canvas, a brand new picture on the canvas of your spirit. He's painting a panoramic picture of your future, and that future is being ordering a new image as a man thinketh where in his heart. So God orders a new image. And once, when all that image gets intact and it's been painted and painted and painted, when you're going in there and living, let yourself release. Some people are so afraid to let themselves release. You know how many religious spirits will come out? When you start releasing on something, the religious spirits will come out like that, kind of talk you out of it. The enemy will try to talk you out of your faith before you even began. People are so afraid to believe. Afraid I'm going to miss it. If you have his word and doing him his work in any, you're not going to miss it. Don't be afraid. You're missing it by missing it. You got to let the eye of faith release into the word. You got to release and let that future begin painting. By the time that future comes, you've already seen it 1,000 times. That's what Paul Young-Cho did. He allowed that to release in his imagination. He saw 50,000 people. God gave it to him. 50,000. Then it was 750,000 members. Now it's 1 million members. 1 million member church. Oh, I'm just so excited about the adventures of faith. Go to 1 Timothy 4. This is huge. If you do this and give time to this and learn this, you're going to be an overcomer in this life. You're going to see God do extraordinary things with you. And you're going to be ready when the enemy shows up. Even the world engages in this. They do it with positive thinking to bring forth a worldly result. We're not, because they're operating in a dominion mechanism that God set up. But we're not doing this for the world. We're doing this in the kingdom. These are laws that the kingdom of God has set in motion. We're receiving something that's going to be 100 times greater than us, 1,000 times greater than us. Something that's going to require the Holy Spirit. Once that image gets built, he's going to leaven all that. And when he leavens, he's going to transform that, and it's his glory. He's going to bring it out into the earth. Things that man can't do. Things the church is not doing. Dare to believe. Dare to live. See yourself laying hands on the paraplegic. See. Have that word dwelling. Have dunamis power. Do it till the Father's pleasure shows up. When the Father's pleasure shows up, you know. When God's pleasure shows up, his love's there. You know you're on track. Because he's in there with you. God gets up into your boat. On the inside. I'm not talking about an anointing. I'm talking about a brand new operation of faith. I'm talking about transcending your anointing. 1 Timothy 4 says, neglect not. Say, neglect not. The gift that is where? In you. Which was given thee by prophecy, laying on hands. So they had something that was imparted to them. Notice what he says, verse 15. Meditate, look at that, upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Meditate upon what's inside of you. Give yourself wholly to what's inside of you. Isn't that the weirdest thing? Isn't that the unusual? Meditate, give yourself wholly. Acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ. Spend time up in there. Give yourself wholly. Give yourself to it. You know what that means? Give yourself. It says, be in these things. Say, be in these things. be in there.
I said this before, I'll say it again because it's just such a perfect example. When we went to Universal Studios, they had the Terminator, and we went in there, and they had this 4D experience, and they put you in a chair, and the chair has sound, and it moves and rocks. They're even putting them in the movie theaters now for the experience, you know. You had the 3D glasses, so they're transporting you into an environment. And that guy comes out with that finger of his, you know, with a sword finger. You got speakers around you, you're rocking and everything. He comes out, and he takes that finger, and he goes like that in the 3D, and the whole place goes, whoa, because that sword goes right through you. And everybody just jump. You think that's that? When you go to the bug thing, you get sprayed. You think the bug is spraying you, spitting on you. They know how to transport you. Now listen, that thing never came out of that screen. But my mind, my body, and everything in me thought it did. To where I went, ah! And everybody else did too. Because it was so real. They knew how to transport you into an environment that wasn't real, but it captivated all of you into it and made you think it's real. The kingdom of God is like that. The Holy Spirit's wanting to transport you into the Spirit, but what is happening is real. He wants to paint an environment, but your imagination, your mind, your heart, everything about you can sink into this environment, but it is real. Even though it hasn't happened yet, it's reality. You'll feel it. You'll taste it. Your imagination will get involved. You'll get transported in your future, and you'll live there like it is real, because it is real. Because that one will manifest. And that's what God's looking for. He's got to repaint the canvas of your spirit. If you don't allow him to do it, you're going to keep getting the same harvest. I told Chuck, I said, I am not going back. I told Anna, I tell him that 5 times a day. I am not going back. I said, we want the same harvest we've been getting for the last 15 years. I have seen people spend all their life praying and fasting for revival and never showed up. They ended up a dead end zone. Some of them get their whole life wrecked for even going after it. I said, I'm not going back. I am locked in to learn how this is going to work. I am not going to stop. I don't care. I am locked in. Every day I get locked in further to a reality that's being governed by truth. It's being governed, a reality of the kingdom, and I'm learning how to sink into it. I'm learning because the imagination transports you into it. That's what the enemy doesn't want you to know. That's why when God even sows his word in the heart, he comes to snatch the word before you even get to any of these phases. Because God wants to transport us into a reality of something he sees. Until faith can come so alive in there, and God the Father says, done! The Holy Spirit takes the law of the Spirit of life and he leavens it. When he does, he brings it all out into the open, being rewarded openly with something that was going on inwardly. When you learn to do that, you've mastered something in this lifetime. And your life will never, ever be the same. When we learn to do that, nothing will be impossible. Because I can venture into the impossible inside. I'm venturing into the promised land on the inside. I'm coming back to tell you it's flowing with milk and honey. Well, how long is it going to take? I don't care. I'm having fun. The Father's pleasure's in there. Glory to God. Glory to God. My words are spirit and they are life to those who find them. My kingdom is a reality with inside to those who find them. Now, Sharon, just real quick, come and give that word that you were sharing with me, because when she met me at the door, but just share with them what the Lord showed you this morning.
What I saw after my prayer time this morning is, and what I heard from Pastor LaRue, well, first backing up, the Lord had showed me that he's like a Joseph, that he has a calling as a Joseph, and we're in the end days. And it's time for the Josephs to be able to rise up and to be in a position, because God sent the Josephs ahead to be able to prepare for the saving of the remnant of the people, the chosen people, the people that were of his heart, that loved God. And so, in my prayer time, I heard an instructional word for Pastor LaRue, and he said to tell Pastor LaRue to take the word that he's meditating, to take his sanctified imagination and to start seeing himself as that modern day Joseph, to see himself being able to just to walk from one realm to the other. And like a basketball player that would see himself just sit and see himself making every hoop, making every basket before he gets out on the court. And where studies have shown that those that just meditate and see it will succeed and maybe even do better than those who have spent hours practicing that shot, because they have it on the inside and then they manifest on the outside. So because Pastor LaRue has a calling as of Joseph, he wants him to start seeing himself interacting with the governmental leaders, seeing himself and interacting with business leaders, being able to buy land in an instant, being able to move resources over to here, and to have the managerial skills like a Joseph that took him from a level of, he was just in a level of operating in a prison, to being the governor over the entire nation in an instant, in a moment. And he's just going to shift him from one realm to the next realm in an instant. So he wants him to practice seeing it now and practice seeing himself making those decisions. And he's just going to instantly walk from one realm. It'll be, we're in one realm right here, but he's taking him to a national realm. He's taking him to an international realm. And so, anyways, I wanted to encourage him with that.
But I mean, she just hit me that carrying this word. I'm like, oh my, what is God calling you to do? One of the most beautiful things, listen to me, you have an imagination when you allow it to release under the proper boundaries of the word of God and learn to focus it, because you'll go off focus, go back in and lock into something. You got to lock in so God can paint a new picture. When he does, he's going to paint something on the outside of your life because you allowed him to paint it on the inside. We don't like our harvest. We're going to have to change what we're looking at. Amen. Let's give the Lord the glory. Hallelujah. Utilize what God's given you. Allow the Holy Spirit to paint a brand new future. Well, don't get off in fantasy. It's through faith and patience. It might take a little time to repaint a canvas, especially if one's in your life been painted for so long. But the word of God will strip that old canvas down. Dunamis power will show up. The word will show up. Holy Spirit will help you. And then the Father's pleasure will show up. He'll fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Let's put that song on. I keep preaching, so I'm just going to let you go. Praise the Lord. I could preach another hour, so I'm just going to release and leave you with that. God bless you. Been our pleasure serving you today. God bless you.